There's nothing like being filled having been hungry. There's nothing like finding your way having been lost.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord has ways to help us truly appreciate our blessings.
Because without those bad situations, we'll forget how good God is.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It's easy to take a lot of things in our lives for granted until they're threatened or taken away. Today, Dr. Evans explains how we can have complete confidence in things that can't be taken away. Let's turn to Psalm 23 as we join him.
Today, we live in a context where there is a crisis of security. It has become clear that you can't depend on Social Security as your only means of retirement income. Investors have been shaken by the insecurity of Wall Street. Nothing is worse than feeling insecure, unsure about where things are, about how you're going to make it, about what the future holds. But we have discovered in our exposition of Psalm 23 that if the Lord is your shepherd, he can meet all of your needs. He comes to the last verse. David had said that if the Lord is your shepherd, not only can he meet your spiritual, directional, emotional, and physical needs, he can meet your eternal needs. He begins in verse 6 with a great word, surely. Can I talk about surely for a moment? Maybe it would help if we say what he didn't say. He didn't say maybe, apps, or hopefully. David comes to verse 6 and he says, sure enough. Absolutely. With certainty. Why would he begin the last verse with such an awesome statement of confidence? Why is he not wavering? After all, when we look at the psalm, surely doesn't come in a context of a problemless existence. He is saying surely because his view of God overrides his view of his circumstances. Your view of God will determine whether you can say surely. When he says surely, he understands a simple principle that dominates the psalm, and that is this. The absolutely tenacious commitment of the shepherd for his sheep. He understands that if you are a good shepherd worth your salt, your sheep don't have to worry. David's security, our security, cannot be based on our circumstances. Too many of us for too long are living under the circumstances. What you doing under there? He says, I've got a whole litany of bad circumstances. But I also have a God who is greater than my circumstances. So surely, now think about it. Surely God is going to meet my spiritual needs. Surely God is going to meet my directional needs. Surely God is going to meet my emotional needs. Surely God is going to meet my physical needs. Now, help me out here. Somebody help me. Because what I want to know is, what need do you have that doesn't fit into one of those categories? Help me. Maybe I missed something. But if my thinking is correct, there is no situation in life that doesn't fit into one of those categories. You're either spiritually depleted, or you're either lost or confused about the direction to take. You're either emotionally despondent, discouraged, or depressed, or maybe lacking in physical resources. In other words, those are umbrella categories designed to cover every dimension of life. He says, when I think about the first 5 verses and come to the end of my psalm, all I can say is surely. I don't have to say I think so or hope so. He understood something that we quickly, and all of us do it, quickly forget. And that is, if God is for you, there is no circumstance that can be against you that can amount to much. I like the way Psalm 56:9 puts it. It simply says, God is for you. Weak as you may be, with all of your deficits, weaknesses, and sins, God is for you. And with that, you can move forward because as a member of his family, your shepherd is tenaciously committed to you. On your best day, God is committed to you. On your worst day, God is committed to you. Even when God doesn't like what you do, he loves you to death because he has committed himself to his sheep. And the implication of that is staggering. You have been FDIC insured. Like a good insurance company, you can rest in the fact that you've been covered. Insurance companies can't promise you there will be no disasters. They can't promise you there will be no fires. They cannot promise you there'll be no hailstorms. They cannot promise you that pipes won't burst and there will be no floods. They can't promise you that your life is a life of rally. In fact, if you knew that, you would need an insurance company. No, no, no. Your insurance company is there if it's worth its salt. It is there to cover you, to make sure that when stuff messes up, breaks down, you can rest in the fact that your policy covers you. God wants you to know that the Christian life is not a promise. There will be no spiritual needs, directional needs, emotional needs, or physical needs. Because if you knew that, you wouldn't need to be here. No, what drives you and me into the presence of God is that if they come and when they come, surely my policy covers it. Surely my insurance coverage has paid for it. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, but I pay for my insurance policy. That's why I'm covered. I pay for my car policy, my health policy, my life policy. I pay for those things, and that's why they're covered. How do I pay for this policy of God being with me regardless of my circumstance? Is my premium coming to church every Sunday? Is my premium coming to church every Wednesday? Do I read my Bible every day to make sure that my coverage is intact? Let me tell you how committed God is to you. God is so committed to you that he has picked up the payment for the policy himself. Your policy has been signed in blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. God is obsessed with you, and he cannot get you off of his mind. One of the fundamental problems that most Christians have trouble to grasp is that when God saved you, he became tenaciously committed to you. And while he's not going to promise that that means tiptoeing through the tulips for the rest of your life, he does promise you're covered. Well, what's the scope of this security? First of all, it's security in time. Secondly of all, it's security in eternity. Notice how the verse lays out. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Let me deal with the last phrase. You covered for a lifetime. This is a lifetime guarantee. It's a guaranteed situation. God is covering you. Now, what is he covering you with? He's covering you with goodness and mercy. Better translated, loving kindness. But here's the key word. He says goodness and loving kindness will follow me. I want to talk about follow me. See, he doesn't say goodness and mercy shall lead me. They're following behind me. They're not out in front of me. They're following behind me. All of us knows what it is to live our lives and face situations and you don't see goodness and you don't see mercy. You look in front and all you see is chaos and pain and struggle and fear and circumstance. You look to the left and all you see are problems over there. You look to the right. God says there's another direction you got to check out. He says, because the thing you're looking for is behind you. It's following you. God knows that it's easy for us to miss how good he is. So in order to help us along, there's nothing like finding your way having been lost. You know, when you're lost and you don't know where you are and you start to sweat, maybe you're late for an appointment and all of a sudden you bump into the right road and you go, whew. So what God does every now and again is allow situations in your life to pop up to let you know how bad it feels when it looks like God hadn't come through for you. See, in Psalm 107, it was when they were in a bad situation, it says, and then they cried to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. The Lord lets us be in not good situations so that we can see afresh the goodness of God, because without those bad situations that make us see afresh the goodness of God, we'll forget how good God is. Mercy or loving kindness. It is one of the most glorious words in the Old Testament, the word hesed, that Hebrew word hesed. Hesed meant loyal love. Hesed meant steadfast love. Hesed was the word God used, this glorious Old Testament word that God used to express his love to Israel. Loyal love. And when God used that word hesed, this is what he was saying to his people. He was saying this: I'm going to love you when you're lovable, and I'm going to love you when you're not. I'm going to love you when you love me back, and I'm going to love you when you forget all about me. I am going to love you when I feel like loving you, and I'm going to love you when I don't feel like loving you. I'm going to love you when you're faithful to me, and I'm going to love you when you're not. In fact, God came up with a whole hesed book, Hosea. God told Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute, a lady of the night. And I want you to illustrate my love for Israel by your love for her. Now, if anybody ought not be loved, it ought to have been Gomer. If anybody ought not to be loved, Hosea went out and married her. And then it says, after a while, she left. And God said, no, 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 don't divorce her. Go find her and bring her back home. He went and found her and brought her back home. And he said, now I want you to love on her some more. Then she got up after a while and left him again. Went back to the red light district. God told Hosea, don't divorce her. Go back and find her. And you'll bring her back home. And every time you do this, you're going to be my visual picture of how I feel about my people. When they're under my roof, let me love on them. But when they leave me, I'm going to find them. That's why if you're a child of God and you go left, the hound of heaven going to find you. It may take him a week, a month, or a year, or a decade, but the hound of heaven going to take the scent of your track and he's going to find you. And you know, the Bible is full of God's hesed, full of God finding folk who become dumb sheep and wander from the fold. When Moses committed murder, it took God 40 years, but he went and found him at a burning bush in the wilderness. When David strayed from God, God told Nathan, find him. He's my lost sheep. When Jonah ran from God, God sent a wind and sniffed him out. That's hesed. Hesed is God not letting you go. Some of you were raised in church. Parents made you go to church. But then you got to college and decided, I don't need church. You strayed from God, strayed from mama's teaching, grandmama's teaching. You developed a party animal lifestyle and you wandered from God. But sometime later, the dog found you, sniffed you out, and called you back home. That's his loving kindness. His goodness is his provision. His loving kindness is his pardon. God is so good. Let me tell you how good he is. He is so good that he can even take your bad and do something with it. How many like salt on their food? Anybody like salt? Anybody put a little salt on their food? Do you know that salt is a combination of two poisons, sodium and chloride? Individually, both sodium and chloride separated from one another can bring harm. But in salt, salt is sodium chloride. It is where a poison called sodium and a poison called chloride have been brought together as one. And when sodium and chloride are brought together as one, you have something that'll make dull food taste better. You'll have something that makes bad food taste good. Salt has hid many a bad cook. God is able to take the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's able to take the best of you, the worst of you, and the worst of others who have messed over you. He is able to put it in his blender and mix it up. And when he finishes cooking it, come out with something that will levitate you to the kitchen. Because God is so good that according to Romans 8:28, he can make all things work together for good. That ought to change your attitude. Ought to make you give thanks for the goodness of God. It ought to make you give thanks for the loving kindness of God. All the days of my life. That means hope. That God is so tenaciously committed to you that he's never going to give up on you. That ought not make you want to go and abuse it. That ought to make you go and appreciate it. That ought not make you say, well, since he ain't going to give up on me, let me find out how bad I can get. That ought to make you say, nobody has loved me like this. Nobody has been committed to me like this. And I will dwell because he ain't finished yet. Why isn't he finished when he talked about all the days of my life? Because it ain't over yet. He says, and after my life is over, when I close my eyes in death, I hope you know, death is a conjunction, not a period. You don't end with death, you just get started with death. Death is the introduction to the real world. See, the reason why a Christian doesn't have to be afraid to die is because you're not going to. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In less than 1 second, less than a second, the Bible says the twinkling of an eye, less than a second, you will be ushered into the presence of God. You won't be dead long enough to know you died if you belong to Jesus Christ.
Dr. Evans will be right back with a closer look at what it means to dwell with the Lord. First, though, today's lesson will wrap up Tony's current teaching series, God is More Than Able. So time's almost up to get this 6-part collection as our gift. It'll teach you how to connect with the Lord's power to meet your emotional, physical, directional, and even eternal needs. And all we ask is that you make a donation of any amount to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. We're a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so we depend on your faithfulness to keep coming your way each day. Visit TonyEvans.org before the day's out. Make whatever contribution God leads you to make, and let us send you the CD series, God is More Than Able. That's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information later on, after part two of today's study and this message.
If you're like most Christians, there are people in your life who know you but may not know Jesus. You really want to do something about that, but don't feel equipped to share your faith effectively. In other words, maybe if you knew more, you could do more. Well, that's where the Tony Evans Training Center comes in. It's an online Bible school with classes that'll take you deep into the most important core concepts of the faith. You can start with our free introductory course on evangelism, then move on to subjects like spiritual warfare, marriage building, maturing in the faith, and many more. The content is challenging, but you can move through it at your own pace anytime you're online. There's also lots of custom content from Tony and an online forum where you can get your specific questions answered. Go to TonyEvansTraining.org and start your free intro course today. The Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
And then I'm a dwell. The word dwell means to be at home. Then you go home. Now, if it's not till I die that I go home, that means you're not home. He says, I'm going to go home. Dwell means to go home. I'm going to go home at the end of my life, which obviously means I'm not home. Now, why is it important for you to know that you're not home? Because it changes your expectations. You see, many of us want to treat this like home. We want to get all upset when this visit is not working out right. You ever been over to somebody's house for a visit and it's not home? It's a different situation when you're at home, because when you're at home, you can relax, you know? So when you go out, you got to be all proper, you know? But it's not like that at home. At home, you can chill. You can relax. You say, I want to relax now. You're not home. This is not home. And so to expect it to be home is a false expectation. He says, goodness and mercy are going to follow you. Now, even at this visitation spot, God's presence can be felt because goodness and mercy are going to dog you until you get home. Because when you get home, you don't need goodness and mercy to dog you, because there will be no leaving it. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God wants you to live on earth with a view to heaven. Most of us will know that death is on its way. Now, here's what God's going to do. For those who he does not take to heaven suddenly, he is going to create a scenario where you'd rather be there with him than here in the circumstance you're in. He's going to create a scenario where the pain of being here is not worth it. So I'd rather be without the pain there. That's a transition point. For those who he does not take suddenly, but he takes them over time due to illness, he gives them something that he doesn't need to give people who he takes suddenly. And that is a view of where you're going before you get there. Here's what he does. He lets you get a picture of heaven while you're enduring the pain of earth, so that you actually request the transfer. And you say, where in the world did you get that? It sounds good, but I want to know if it's Bible. Well, Acts 7. Stephen is preaching. They pick up the stones and start to stone him to death. Stones are popping off of his skull. He's in a slow death. He's moving from consciousness to unconsciousness. He comes in the midst of those closing moments. He says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And then he says in that closing moments, Lord, receive my spirit. In those closing moments, the Bible says, Stephen looked up and saw Jesus, who was sitting on the right hand of the Father. It says he saw Jesus stand up. Now, Jesus' position in the Bible is sitting down. So whenever you see him stand up, it's now him telling you, welcoming committee, come on home, and you're ready to go.
Dr. Evans has a final word to wrap up our message for today. He'll be back with that in just a moment. In the moments we have remaining, let me just throw in a quick reminder about our current special offer that ends today. All 6 full-length CDs in the teaching series Tony concluded a moment ago, God is More Than Able. Yours with our thanks when you make any donation to help keep this program coming your way. Drop by TonyEvans.org to get all the details and make the arrangements before the day's out. That's TonyEvans.org, or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says fasting is God's way of adding fire to your prayers. Be sure to join us next week when he starts a series on how denying your physical appetite can stimulate your spiritual one. But right now, he's back to share some final thoughts on today's subject.
In 1952, her name was Florence Chadwick. She was the only woman to have ever swam the English Channel. She was now going to take on the challenge of swimming from Catalina Island to the coast of California. She jumped in the water and began swimming, but after 16 hours, she quit. It was so foggy and so depressing that she quit. She was asked, "Why did you quit?" She said, "Because I became discouraged. Couldn't see what was before me. I didn't know how far I had to go." What was interesting was after 16 hours, when she got out of the water, they let her know that she was only 1/2 mile from the California shoreline. Life has a way of getting foggy, and you get discouraged, and you want to know, how can I make it? If I'm going to make it, I can't make it. I'm tired. I'm weary. 2 months later, Florence Chadwick got back in the water. It was foggy again. She swam and swam and swam. This time, she made it. In fact, not only did she make it, she broke the record by 2 hours for the swim. Well, of course, she was asked the question, "How did you make it? Last time you quit, but it's foggy again this time. Why didn't you quit?" "Oh," she said, "this time was different. As I swam, I kept a picture of the shoreline in my mind. So I never stopped seeing the shoreline. Every stroke I took watching the shoreline that I couldn't see with my natural eyes, but I could see with my mental eye. I kept my eye on the shoreline, and that overrode my discouragement of the trip. I am not here to promise you it won't get foggy. I am not here to promise you you won't get depressed. I am not here to promise you it won't look like a long haul. But what God is saying is, if you keep your destiny in mind, you can keep stroking, because you know I am taking you to your destiny. And this is not it. This is not it. And that's for, if you live for this, you will live an empty life, because this ain't it. But when you live for there, you'll begin to live here. When you live for there, then you'll find what you're looking for here. People looking for here will not get here. And if they look too hard here, they won't get there. But if you look there, you'll get there, and you'll make it here. Keep the shoreline in mind, because that'll govern you for time and eternity. What have we said in Psalm 23? We've only said one thing. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will meet your need. He'll meet your spiritual need. He'll meet your directional need. He'll meet your emotional need. He'll meet your physical need. And he'll meet your eternal need. In other words, he got you covered.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.